we're here for. Heaven and earth will pass away, but it's two things that's going to be eternally. It is, this is my Bible, and you. That's all that's going to last. I cried, the psalmist said, unto God with my voice, even unto God my voice. And he gave ear unto me. Isn't that magnificent? That he hears our pleas. He hears our cries. And we get excited about that. And that came from Psalm 77, verse 1. We are glad that you are here today. And thank you, Brother and Sister Holly, for sharing your spiritual talents with God. We are glad that you're here today, and we welcome you in that great, majestic empowerment named Jesus. In the Palestine time, they called Jesus, they greeted Hosanna. Hosanna, as the people shouted. And that means that he's ruler, and he should be the ruler of our hearts. And we also are grateful for our visitors today, and we preach the echoes of Calvary at this great assembly. And hopefully our faces are like Moses as he went on Mount Sinai, and his face was glistening, and it was shining, and it was just almost as white as snow because he had been with Yahweh, Jehovah God. So that's what we are about. And we thank you, visitors, for coming today, and that you will come again. So today, Kristen friend, we're going to talk about rest and be still before God. Rest and be still before God. The last week or so, we preached about comfort, and now you need some rest. And I need some rest. I had some rest about 3 weeks ago. I went to New Jersey, and I got a little rest, but not quite. And then next week, Lord willing, we're going to talk about heaven. Heaven, your final destination, and the splendors, and what we're looking forward to, and that's what it's all about. So grab your Bible and turn with me to Psalms. That's in the Old Testament, chapter 46 of the Old Testament, with verses 1 through 11, please. Psalms 46, verses 1 through 11. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will I not be fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, there is a river, the streams thereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her, she shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that rightly early. The heathens raged, the kingdoms were moved. He's uttered his voice, the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is still with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Come, behold the works of the Lord, what desolations he have made in the earth. He maketh war to cease until the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariot in the fire. Be still and know that I'm God. I will exalt among the heathens. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. May the Lord would add an eternal blessing on his precious word. Shall we pause for a minute of the totally dependence on God in prayer? Father in heaven, we thank you, Father, today for this grand occasion that we can boldly go to the throne of grace. We would pray that the ministries of the Holy Spirit would take these few words and dabble them in our hearts, and that they would sink on fertile ground today. And Father, as we expound the word of God, Father, if is outside of the safety of Jesus Christ and have never placed their trust in you, we would pray, Father, today will be the day of their salvation. And we'll give you the praise because we ask that you let the meditation of my heart and the word of God be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. In his name, amen. You know, the Lord invites us to come unto him, but the phrase is also, the thought is in, let us come unto him now. He wants us to come unto him now. There is no doubt God is our refuge and our strength, and that's what we want to talk about this morning. Be still and know that God, but rest and be still before God. So this is what this verse one is starting to share. Friends, whatever occur our way, this 46th Psalm is instinctively is used, or whatever we're going through. Whatever we're going through. It is really highlighted when disaster strikes and when all hope is lost. Have you ever been in that predicament? The psalmist knows for certain that he is in God's will and in his great time frame. And he sees the way, even in crisis and through disasters, he acknowledged that God is our refuge. God is his refuge. God is our refuge. It's personal, isn't it? It may be through finances that we're going through. It may be relationships. It may be a touch of depression. But God will carry us through. The psalmist knew who was his refuge and strength. He knew the knowledge of his God, which literally means he knew a place which to go quietly for protection and to provide strength in any circumstances, whatever he was going through. You know, but in the New Testament, Jesus personalized that rest, and he says, come unto me now. Come unto me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. We're going to expound on that a little more later in this message. But Jesus wants us to come unto him with all our cares of this world. And that's found in 11 of Matthew 28. Therefore, in the midst of the cares of this world and the disparity of life, we need to stop and be still and find a refuge in God. So actually, these verses in verse 2 and 3, Therefore will I not fear, though the earth be moved and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. So actually these verses is dealing with the human fear of natural disasters and war. The seas may roar and foam. We can find rest. We can find the river whose streams may glad the city of Jerusalem, because the Lord's presence and blessings that will fill this city and should fill our hearts. You know, in 1943, a rural camp in Maryland called Shanigrala was purchased as a retreat for United States President Franklin D. Roosevelt. Rustic, quiet, and remote as it was, it provided an opportunity for solitude and tranquility, according to the White House website, as well as an ideal place to work and to host foreign leaders, the website shares. However, when Dwight Eisenhower became president, he renamed this camp Camp David, you heard of it, in honor of his father and his grandson, and name had stuck to Camp David. It remains a perfect place for United States presidents and their families to escape and rest. King David wrote in Psalms 32, "You, God, are my hiding place. You protect me from trouble and surround me with songs of deliverance." David knew God was a true place of safety and rest. Furthermore, Psalms 32, Psalm 6, Psalm 38, 51, David's confessing psalm, most of us know that, Psalms 102, 130, and 143, all are classified as the seven psalms known as a repentance psalms. And notice Psalms 32, verse 1 through 6 that we might consider. Psalms 32, verses, just to take a listen. "Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man whom the Lord imputed not iniquity, and is whose spirit there is no guile. When I kept silence, my bones waxed old through the roaring all day long," David says. "For the day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned into the drought of summer. I acknowledge my transgression, my sin unto you, and my iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my sin unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. For this shall everyone that is godly pray in you, in a time when thou mayest be found. Surely in the floods of great waters they shall not nigh unto him." This psalms, beloved, focus on joy. Yes, it focuses on joy, it focuses on peace, and it focuses on forgiveness of King David. And ultimately, it focuses upon rest of his great confessions of sin and torment in his life. And it worked. Are you at rest in Christ this morning? We find in Luke's gospel the two classic sisters, Mary and Martha. You heard the story many times. In a contrast to one another at this time, Jesus came by an invitation to the home of Martha, you remember, in this story. And Martha was busy doing things, good things, perhaps. And the narrative picked up in Luke chapter 10, I might add here. And it says, just to take a listen here, this one. At Luke chapter 10, verses 38. Now it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was occupied about much serving and came to him and said, "Lord, does you not care that my sister have left me to serve alone? Bid her, tell her therefore that she should help me." And Jesus answered and said unto her, "Martha, Martha, are you careful and troubled about many things? But one thing is needful. Mary have chosen that good part which shall not be taken from her." The setting was domestic. Martha was distracted by serving, but Christ put things into perspective. As she complained about this and about that, she was doing all the preparation, and Mary was just sitting at Jesus' feet. And however, she was listening to what Jesus was saying. What about you and I? Are we just rambling, going through the spiritual things in the cliche? Are we listening in the Word of God and listening to Jesus? As Jesus was saying, ultimately is our hope of all our anxieties. He shares our anxieties and our distress that we have every day. And that was perhaps what Mary was checking out. A devotion to the Master, listening to Jesus. Just because, you know, we may be busybodies is no guarantee that we are being spiritually productive, Christian friends, or even faithful, or even fruitful. Often I'm guilty like Mary, like Martha, as she was worried and upset about temporal things. So I think the lesson here, it was Mary had chose just sitting at the feet of Jesus, a prostrate position for discipleship and lordship of Jesus Christ. She found rest. She found peace just sitting at the Lord's feet, spending time with Christ. And we need to stop focusing perhaps our things to do list. And we must, as our text reminds us, be still and know that I am God. Notice verse 5. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her and that right early. There is the key word in this verse, and it is the word missed. This is the mystery resident the psalmist was recognizing back in this time. He recognized someone. God is in the midst. That's what he recognized. Watch this. And it was none other than the Lord of hosts. He said, is with us. That's what it says in the verse. He is with us. The God of Jacob, the God of Israel is with us. And we need not to be discouraged. But for God's people, he has always been with his people. The Lord has always been for us, believing people. His presence was in the midst of the temple scholar as Jesus was a boy. He was in the midst of heavyweight theologians. You ever thought about that? He was in the midst of the upper room after his resurrection. In the midst of the lampstands walking among the churches in Revelations. Isn't that beautiful? He was in the midst. He was in the midst of the throne that is to come in Revelations. And we find rest because we know he's always in our midst. He says, where there's two or three gathered in his name, he's what? He's in our midst. If it was just three of us today, thank God we got visitors. He would have been in the midst of just two or three of us. That's not only comfort, that's rest. And you recall the word with us is Emmanuel, his Messiahship, the title. He is with us this morning. Whatever your circumstance, finances, relationships, depression, whatever, you don't have to confess to us what's going on. He knows. Friends, Jesus wants and invites us to come to him, unload our weary and burdens in exchange for rest. You need some rest sometimes. We shared earlier in Matthew, and we can get back to it, in the gospel, 11:28. Come unto me, all ye that weary. As the Savior invites us unto him, but also in the Lord's context, the writer in Matthew wrote Jesus' own words. He said, now listen, take my yoke. Take my yoke means after we have endured all of life's left hooks, if you may, from our heavy ladens, from our daily routines, overworked, and all responsibilities and liabilities and all the rest, and tensions, which what we call a burnt out. Beloved, Jesus is still our answer. He's still our answer. Because in Matthew 11:29, he personally invites us as followers. Take, he says, my yoke upon you and learn of me. In Jesus' day, taking the yoke of another's person meant following their leadership and their footsteps. And when we're under the dominance of Jesus' yoke, and we are day in and day out, are relieved from the stress that the Lord intended us to have in the first place. Take my yoke, he invites us. Paul says in another thought, let this mind be in you, which also in Christ. That's part of taking Christ's yoke. Let the mind of Christ be in you. He that said he abideth in him ought him also so to walk, even as he walked, the Apostle John said in 1 John. So to walk even as he walked. This, beloved, is a recipe for rest. Taking this yoke, we are not to lean on our own understanding, but we are to acknowledge him in all our ways that he may direct our paths. Our narrative in verses 6, 7, and 8 here shares here. The heathens raged, the kingdoms were moved, he uttered his voice, the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us, the God of Jacob is our refuge. Come, behold the works of the Lord, what desolations he have made in the earth. The writer wants us to know in the past the great God Elohim destroyed the great invader Sennacherib that was surrounded Israel at one time in history, and all his armies and all his troops to succumb Israel. And we are told what happened. You remember the story, some of us. In John's Phillips commentary quotes, quote, then God sent down an angel to deal with the besieged army. God had this. One night, one angel, the army was no more of the Assyrians. They picked the wrong night to fool with God's people. Sennacherib did. It perished and it stood not. And Jerusalem at that time was saved. The city was in jubilation. Just elated. They ran. It rained with singing and hymns and thanksgiving and praise. The Lord of hosts is with us. He's with the body of Christ. He's with Grace Bible Baptist Fellowship. He's with you. The writer wants us to know in the past the great God Elohim. He's with us. And there in the past, in the present, and in the prophetic future, the psalmist had looked forward, yet in the future will come and the enemy will try to destroy the world through the armies of Armageddon that is to come. The writer, this writer, in Psalms 46, and the scripture teaches he will make their swords into plowshares and spears and pruning hooks. That's coming. This person that will one day give this old world peace and rest. So in closing, you remember the story of poor old Elijah. You remember? You learned that in Sunday school, didn't you? And I'm going to want you to just listen to 1 Kings chapter 19 to wrap all this up. And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done and withal how he had slain all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, "So let the gods do to me, and more also, if I make not your life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time." That sounds like a threat. Verse 3, and when he saw that, he this is not funny. He arose and went for his life, the Bible says, and came to Beersheba, which belongeth to Judah, and left his servants there. He left his people. And he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down upon a juniper tree, and he requested for himself that he might die, and said, "It is enough now, O Lord, take my life. Just take my life, for I am not better than my fathers." And as he lay and slept under a juniper tree, behold, then an angel touched him and said unto him, "Arise, Elijah, and eat, for you're tired and you're weary and you need some what? Rest." And the angel touched him again. And the angel of the Lord came unto him a second time and touched him and said, "Arise, eat, because your journey is too great for you." That's a lesson for us, isn't it, today? Elijah received a terrifying message after he had killed and triumphed over the false prophets that he'd done at a certain site at Mount Carmel. And Queen Elizabeth's threats against him was real. In fact, he wanted to go to Mount Sinai, which where Moses encountered with God before. That's where he was headed. Meanwhile, Elijah was despaired. He was longing to die. Actually, what he needed was some rest and some sleep. Perhaps like some of us today. Take his yoke, and for his burdens are light and meek and lowly. And he was blessed to touch twice by two angels, and they fed him some what? Angel food cake. And he did eat and drink. And the Lord renewed his physical strength, and he continued on his journey. You and I, we have a mission to accomplish. We got things to do. But we need a little rest, because there's no rest for the weary. And by the way, the Lord never sleeps nor slumber, does he? But you try that, and all of y'all will be sleeping here. Just to continue his journey, he needed some rest. What a great application for us today. So when life's journey is too much for us, we may need his physical resources to conquer the great giants in our lives. Many of us have great giants It could be a multiple things. But our God is with us, and he'll give us some rest. He'll restore us. He'll console us. And some of us got some great mountains. And he'll give you the grace to go through the mountainous things in your life and my life. Verse 10 and 11, he'll give us hope and he'll give us rest. Because my Bible says, be still and know that I am God. Just be quiet like Elijah. He'll give you your rest. He'll give you your cake. And at the same time, he says, I will be exalted among unsaved folks or heathens. And I will be exalted ultimately on the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us, our God of Jacob. He's our refuge. And that word, again, refuge means a place to which to quietly we go for protection. Amen. Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord, that you give us rest when we need it. And this is why we should lean not on our own understanding, but in all our ways acknowledge you, that you will fortify our paths. We thank you, Lord, for all the examples that you gave to your followers, and that we may abide in you, that we may live for you, and not be carnal Christians, but to be mountainous Christians for you and for your kingdom. Because you said, if you will be lifted up, you will draw all men to yourself. For Jesus' sake, amen.